Good afternoon. I'm Leah Doozy. I'm with USDA ARS at the National Soil Dynamics Lab in Auburn, Alabama. I was hoping to give a little war eagle today, but unfortunately that didn't happen. So it's a sad day in Auburn, but they played well, so that's okay. The presentation before this was actually a good lead-in because for a lot of people, maybe there isn't an heir. There isn't somebody to take over the farm, so they are going to have to rent their land out. And so there are a lot of options to renting your land as a landlord or as a tenant, and that's a little bit what I'm going to talk about today. It is, if you're here last year, I did also a presentation on land rent, and I would like to thank Cotton Inc. for providing funding for this project. So this is just a map from NAS that kind of goes over the cropland values by state. There's a red line, if you can see it, that outlines the Cotton Belt, and it kind of gives an idea. You've probably all seen it if you're familiar with the publication from NAS that shows how land values have changed from 2012 to 2013. And you can see it really differs across the Cotton Belt from Missouri, where you have a 13.8% increase, Kansas, Oklahoma increased, you have decreases or staying the same like in Alabama and Georgia. So you have a difference in land values. Obviously, we haven't seen the increase that they've seen in the upper Midwest, which makes decisions even more difficult when it comes to renting and the price of rent. So these are the 2013 average cropland rents that NAS published, and the ones in red are your highs. So the first column is irrigated. You have $365 on average in California, and $70 for a low in Oklahoma for irrigated cropland. And then for dry land, a high of Missouri of $113 and a low in Texas of $24. And then the all is just across all land, not divided out by irrigated and dry land. So as you can see, rental values really differ across the belt. And so you can see different land, those are just the 2013 average. And you know, obviously NAS data has its own issues with it being an average. So, and we don't have a min and a max. So this is taken from an article that was on AgWeb that was taken from the Farmland Investor letter back in September, and it was just talking about results from a survey that they did from June 15th of 2013 to August 14th of 2013, and these were the results of their surveys, and as you can see, non-irrigated cropland across the region was worth an average of $3,000, and this is kind of across the South. In the second quarter of 2013. And what's really interesting is rents. And so they have rents on non-irrigated cropland averaged about $114 an acre, ranging from $69 in Georgia and $213 in Missouri, which kind of goes along with the NAS average data that we showed earlier. And then irrigated cash rents from averaged about $199, averaging from $135 in Alabama to $328 in Florida. And I know the one in Alabama was a little higher, so it was probably a little bit of a max as compared to the average from NAS. So this kind of just gives some backgrounds on why is rent important. And if you know, a lot of the information on farmland values and rent are coming out of the Midwest, where you see really high rents, $300 and upwards of $300 for farmland. And we're not seeing that in most parts of the Cotton Belt. So what I did is I looked at the number of NAICS cotton farms, and so that would be where their primary production is cotton. And this is based on 97 and 2007, like the previous presenter said, we don't have 2012. And so you've seen a change, as she discussed, in the number of farms that are listed as or recognized as cotton farms. And so in the United States, we've seen a decrease of about 47.5% from 97 to 2007. So obviously there's been some changing in cotton farms where their primary production is cotton. So this is also that similar data. I know this is kind of busy, so I'll try to, above the line is where you saw where there's a percent decrease from 97 to 2007 of the percent of land that's in farms that's rented. So the top six states saw a decrease in the amount of land that was rented, whereas the ones in the bottom saw an increase in the percent of land that was rented from 97 to 2007. This is just for farms that are identified as cotton farms. And so for the United States, it went from 63% of land that was rented to 64% of land that rented. And that wasn't a big increase from 97 to 2007, but when you look at it by state, it's very different. So if you look at, like, for example, Arizona went from 50% rented to 80% rented based on census data. So you have a lot more rented land in some areas of the Cotton Belt. So this is just kind of a background on cost of production. Once again, kind of busy. But it's all 2013 data and 2014 for Arkansas. And so I ended up, Arkansas is kind of what the rest of my presentation is going to look at. But these are just, I went ahead and did a break-even price for a variable cost and total cost. And that'll come in just a minute, because in most cases, enterprise budgets that are published don't have land rent in them. It's just your, it's land rent would be on top of that. So there are a lot of existing information out there about flexible leases, cash rent, share rent. There's a lot of information out there. One of them is the Ag Lease 101. It's a product of the North Central Farm Management Extension Committee. It's a nice document. Iowa State has a flexible farm lease agreements. Kansas State has what's called the Flex Rent Spreadsheet. Ohio State, Flexible Cash Rent Cash Lease Calculator. University of Nebraska-Lincoln, the Flex Cash Lease Calculator. So there's a lot of good information out there about different kinds of leases as well as flexible cash leases, and that's really what I'm focusing on. But as you notice, all of them are coming from one region of the country for the most part. So unless there's one out there that I haven't been able to find, most of the other tools were developed for crops other than cotton. So they were developed for corn and soybeans, and they're hardwired for corn and soybeans. So you can't go in and change the crop in those tools. They're just for corn and soybeans. Also, they have separate spreadsheets for all different kinds of rental agreements. So if you wanted to compare different rental agreements, you may have to look at four different spreadsheets to be able to do that. So I kind of wanted to take those two things and make a spreadsheet tool that could be useful for producers to make decisions about renting and also landlords, not just tenants, that would kind of take up for those two things. There are multiple ways to calculate flexible cash rents. What I used was a base rent plus a base rent times the percent change from a base price to the actual price. But there's also base rent multiplied by the ratio of current year's price or yield to base price. So there are multiple different options of how you can calculate a flexible rent instead of just a flat cash rent or a share rent. And the same thing goes if you want to flex on revenue instead of flexing on price or flexing on yield. So what I've done is I've set up a spreadsheet. It's not done yet. We're still in the production process. So this is kind of a first go at it. And it walks kind of through different steps of entering information, and it's I've tried to make it very user-friendly so that producers can walk through it quickly and easily to be able to come to, like, just look at what different rental options would be. So I just called this one Arkansas because I used production data from Arkansas, and I came up with just a little generic farm which would have, like, 952 acres of cotton, 85 acres of corn, and 663 acres of soybeans. This is just made up, and the data really isn't what's important. It's actually the use of the tool. And so they could enter up to five crops, and it's any crop. It doesn't matter. They could use any crop, not just cotton. And so that's what I wanted, was something that wasn't hardwired for certain crops. So then they could enter 5 years' worth of historical farm data to come up with some base numbers. So you have your historical farm yields, your historical farm prices, and your historical farm and then it calculates revenue from those that data. It's kind of hard to see, but this is kind of a light green, and that's where you can enter information into. And so it calculates all. If it's not in green, then it's a formula, and it calculates it for you. And I talk about this at the end, but I'll go ahead and say it now. One of the things I'm planning to do is set it up so that I have average county yields for all the cotton producing counties, or really all the counties that I can get in there, of different crops, so that then they could just choose those and it would populate it as a place to start, not as a final number, but as a place to start. And then there's a place you can put in your production cost. So once again, the areas in green are the things that can be changed, and so you can put in all your production costs aside from land rent. So that would be, and also fixed cost if a producer would want to put in fixed costs. And that comes in just a minute. And then I didn't include share rent data or percentages, because it really differs by farm, by region, and so I just left that out for right now. I mean, it's live, you can use it, but I just didn't include data for this presentation. Also, I have cash rent set at $50 an acre for all three crops. So then there has to be a little bit of information needed to come up with a flexible cash rent, and that would be a base rent a base yield, a base price, and the base revenues calculated off of those two things, also a minimum and a maximum. So I assume the base rent was cash rent, which is $50, and then a minimum of $40 and a maximum of $75. So a producer would pay no more than $75 and no less than $40 an acre. And that's one of those things that has to be negotiated with the landlord, with the landowner. And then also, what's your expected yield and expected price? And then I have an option down here where they can just choose to use their historical data, and then they can go in and change it if they want to. So for an initial run, they could put in their historical data and then change it as they see the need to do that. So this is where it calculates the different per acre's rent. The part of the top that's kind of shaded out is before I included any minimums and maximums. So like, for example, for my example farm here, the flex on yield would be $53.39. Well, that's $3 more than cash rent. So if you're flexing on yield, so as yields go up, your rent would go up. As yields go down, your rent would go down. Same with price and revenue. As you can see, the flex on revenue is $40 for corn, so that would hit that minimum cap. And then I did a weighted average across all per acre over all cash rent. And I didn't include it because it made it really busy, but you do have the ability to go back and forth between all these pages pretty easily so that you can jump back and forth and look at things. I took a little portion of this chart and blew it up here so you could look at it. So for example, on a flex on yield, for a base yield of 749 here and an actual yield of 697, this is for cotton, the rent would be $46.51. And then for cash rent flexed on price, for a base price of $5.40, this is for corn, for $5.40 and an actual price of $4.39, the rent would be $40.60 on your corn acres. And as you can see, the shaded part in blue is the area that where it's hit the minimum, and the shaded part in blue up there is where it's hit the maximum. And this would be a flex on revenue, and the same here. Is it a yield of an actual yield of 30 and an actual price of $11.72, the rent would be $49.65 for soybeans. And so then I have it so you can print out a document if you wanted to present it to your landowner or if they wanted to present it to their tenant, where it has all of the assumptions, and this is kind of all of them put together in a form where it's easy to understand, and print it out on one page and you have that documentation. And then I decided that I would add a little break-even in there so that you could see the differences in break-even. I've got it at two decimal places, but if you brought it on out, these are not the same. For break-even price on cotton, it would be about 67 cents. So that would be your variable cost, including rent. 67 cents would be your break-even price. And then I also have a break-even yield on there, just for more information for producers to be able to make a really good decision about their rental agreements. And the final thing is where they could put in their actual data. So if they had this spreadsheet, they saved it on their computer, they came in when they were ready to pay their rent, they could use the spreadsheet, put in their actual data, and it would calculate what their rent is for them. A couple of things that I want to do in the future to finish this up is I want to put in some different options for calculating flexible rents. Like I said, there are five or six different, multiple ways you can calculate flexible rents, and I've included one. Well, what about the other ones? How can that change your decision-making process? Also, an option to select county-level average yield data so that you don't have to enter your own. You could just have county-level average yield data, and also add a safety first constraint in there that says, okay, what's the probability, based on county yields, what's the probability that I'm going to make a profit, or I'm going to make $200 an acre, or whatever that goal is for you as a producer. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Is rent calculator available online?
Not yet. That's my goal. I'm working with Cotton Inc., and so hopefully when I get it all finalized and have it vetted a little bit with some producers, it will be available online. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know what Oklahoma uses, the enterprise budget, which is basically looks like Microsoft, probably spelling it from Microsoft.
It probably is.
anyway, the question I had is like on the cotton ground that we have, some of it, especially the irrigated, you pay cash rent and then part of your charitable deal. And I hadn't found anything in the enterprise.
to try to do that. Okay, so you're paying your cash rent, so let's say it's just $50, and then you pay a percentage of your yield on top of that. And that is one of the other options, in the document that I've kind of been going off of, that AgLease 101, that is one of the options, is a base rent plus a percentage of your yield. And that's what I would like to do, is include other options of how to calculate that flexible rent, so that then you could use that to be able to do that, to look at that, to include that in your calculations. So that's my goal in the end. I just only had time to include one option of calculating flexible rent. Yes, sir?
The very first table in your presentation, where it's talking about percentages.
Yes. That one?
No. There.
Yes.
No.
No.
Damn. There.
Or is it this one?
That's the fourth thing.
The really busy one.
There was one of them that had that's it. Out here on the right, it says percent rented.
Yes.
Are those actual percents? Like,
I'm sorry. Yes, it should be like 29.6%.
Yes.
I apologize. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. 0.96 would be 29.6%. Yeah. That's what it is. I just I should have done it a different way. So, this was, when I started looking at the data, it was really interesting to see how it had changed from 97 to 2007, because a lot of times the information you hear about rented ground, a lot of it only comes out of the, you know, people are talking about it from a Midwestern standpoint, and my background isn't, obviously I'm not from the Midwest, but I spent a lot of time in the Midwest. So when I moved back, when you start looking at this, it's pretty interesting that it's very different than the Midwest. And that's where a lot of the information comes out on, especially on rental information.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.